Thanks, Joan, for inviting me. And it's really a pleasure to read with Lucia and Lynn, both of whom I love your work. So it's a joy. I'm going to read from my next book, Descent, which is coming out from Tarpaulin Sky Press in April. So some of you know this story, but many don't. I acquired a copy of my great-great-grandfather's diary several years ago. He was a captain in the Confederate Army in Hood's Texas Brigade, and after the end of the Civil War, went back to East Texas and had children by three of his former slaves who were also sisters. And as I was transcribing this 250-page diary, I became interested in what he was leaving out, and this began a several years research and writing project of discovery, writing into the spaces of what was missing. So that's Descent. Dear Robert, dear Redbeard, dear Specter of the Great White Father, dear slaveholder, dear Confederate captain captured at Gettysburg, dear dispenser of land, favor, seamen, procreator of 20 children by three sisters simultaneously, dear father of the Negro League pitcher, dear farmer, schoolmaster, landlord, hired hand, grave paler, log roller, surveyor, and manure shoveler, dear singer, dear churchman and circus fan, dear reveler at brigade reunions, dear collector of sentimental poems about loneliness and redemption, dear pointy-eared like Lucifer and bearded beyond Rasputin, dear mythical Jim Crow defier, hero of my grandfather's childhood, who took him on the whites only section of the streetcar. He claimed this really happened, proclaiming, "These are my grandchildren and they're sitting with me." Dear diarist, dear widower, dear lonesome hunger, dear admirer of well-formed women, dear inscrutable in the tintype beside your favorite half-claimed child, dear tallier of payments, debts, work days, weather conditions, neighbors by name and race, dear borer of wells, dear master of omission. Heard a whippoorwill holler this morning for the first time this spring. Heard a whippoorwill holler, all hands choking cotton. Heard a holler, a whimper. Heard a will whip her. Will heard a whip. Whip or will. Will heard. Herding hers. Whipping herds. Sowing oats. Whipping whores. Stripping cane ore. Whelped her. Willed her. A well and a hold. Dank of the dark of the hell of the hold. Choking cotton. Caught in. A yoke and a pull. Stripped and caned for. Heard her holler, caught her, held her hand to the, whipped out your, held her head to the, whipped out the billfold. Heard a whimper this spring, choke door. Heard a holler, a hollowed out hold, whipped to a wheelbarrow, hell bent toward a hole, ripped from a, wrapped in a gut wrench sugar hold. Question. So how did the women feel about this? Answer. Don't guess they had no say. Thanks. The next one starts with an epigraph. I have many a time been actually and painfully thirsty, and yet in sight of an ocean of fresh water. Decimus et ultimus Barziza, escaped POW. Johnson's Island, winter 1863 through 64. That winter, the pipes froze and no longer brought water in from the bay. The guards ordered the men to dig two holes about 8 feet deep. They installed pumps, but still the water is always exhausted within an hour of reveille. He has forgotten to change his socks, and his toes are freezing in their own sweat. The wind claws at his eyelids and lips. The ice is driving at him in spikes, fearsome. And for a second, he thinks the wind is hammering nails into his face, that God Almighty is bent on paling his grave. But no, he is grateful for the warmth of the beard, ought to wrap it around him like a scarf. It is almost long enough. his thirst gravel in his throat, his ears tingling and then suddenly numb. Heard a whippoorwill holler, heard a holler, a whimper, a whirlpool, a snicker, heard a stag kick her. Long hours between roll call and roll call, he tries to rewrite his own history, to erase the moment his ears popped charging a Pennsylvania hill. Whip 'em, boys, whipped or not whipped yet, how you begin to doubt your own head. A shell exploding ahead, and even the screams of the man beside you are muted like crows from the shore when you are holding your breath underwater. The line's a scattered mess of boulders, but your yelling stand firm. Why? The rebel yell issuing from your own spent breath, but you cannot hear, but for a moment think you will make it to the top despite gunfire hailing down the forest, a dizzying maze of smoke and half-blinded retching. You run headlong into a tree before you are taken. How? Sword at the back. See yourself relinquishing your revolver to a first lieutenant from New York, some retribution for Second Manassas, the blue columns at Fredericksburg melting away. Look away, look away. The boy who disarmed him was younger than he, had curious auburn eyes that reminded Bob of some dogs he'd seen. Thanks. My great-great-grandmother's name was Peggy. Peggy rises out of sleep through the dream called blue, where all her kinfolk are wading through fields of blue. Even her father left in Georgia, her stillborn brother somehow grown, her niece who stumbled into the fire on Christmas Day and died with the vision of her white dress aflame. The aunt or uncle who ran off or was lost forever to the auction block. They are all wearing blue, blue hats, blue shawls, and in the way they sing a song with no words deep from the gut, there is also blue. And bluely she creeps toward them in her calico blue. And now there is a dance. They are partnering for the quadrille, and the man they called Bo Peep cradles a banjo, strikes a tune blue. And her petticoat starched with hominy water and prisses too. And every time they stop moving for a second, the petticoats pop and Priss giggles, and in Priss's eyes are flecks of blue. The log train shakes her into waking black, then dark blue. And she reaches for her kerchief blue, and she is stumbling toward the cradle blue and cooing shoo shoo to the baby who is hollering now. One Sunday, the preacher prayed, Lord, let us all go to heaven where there'll be no log train. Hoo, 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 and a clankety clank, hoos, black smoke curling into the half blue. Bob, can I be your lazy eye, your wander lust, your grave without a headstone, your bleeding gums, your buck teeth, and your walk bow-legged at the knee? Can I be your fortune hunter, your glimpse of wild geese, your red russet shoes that poison the feet? Reckon this is the best of my seed, been stripping cane and blind, robbing the bees. Reckon you've thought of swimming the creek. Last night they came on horseback, white hoods like phantoms, scanning the trees, burning torches, shattering sleep. I dragged the shotgun from the door and stepped, squinting, onto the porch. One of the stranger discoveries I made, in 1999, my great-grandfather, or what was left of him, was reburied by the sons of Confederate veterans, which was like some bone fragments. And they didn't ask permission from any of his direct descendants, so. Ceremonia mortium, the reburial of Captain Robert Wallace Hubbard and his wife, Jenny, in loving memory by the sons of Confederate veterans, April 25th, 1999. Early Baptist funeral service. 1. Introduction and background. Bob Hubbert placed his family cemetery on the old survey straddling the county line, where he planned to lie forever with his black mistress at his feet and his white wife by his side. 2. Death and burial. A backhoe unearthed buttons in the overgrowth, a few shards of bone. Who scooped them up? A backhoe bucking a black hole. Who segregated the family plot? 3. Resurrection. Heard a whippoorwill holler, a whimper, a whistle, whipped out of the woods, a dart through the center. 4. Collect of the day, the Captain Robert Wallace Hubbert Scholarship Fund. God the Father, bless these gifts and have mercy on your servant Bob, who sent his daughters to school, Wiley College, Prairie View. Said he didn't want them working in no white man's kitchen, 'cause he knew. That he may share with you through our Son, our Lord, who was once human too. Amen. 5. The dismissal. Pass by the caskets for the last respects. Passed on, passed through, passed into, passed beyond, passing, present participle, crossing over to never come back. High military service for the dead. 1. Receiving the deceased. No one will say what happened to the marker on Peggy's grave, the cement cover Bob or their children laid. 2. The procession. Even in death, rebels can fall perfectly into step. There is Major Jimmy Littlefield, the quartermaster, and Barefoot John Stevens following the bagpipers, and Bob's nephew Ike, recently reburied, still 24, still dashing and dying in his uniform, winks at Bob and says, "It's only matter." 3. Blessing of the cannon, named for Captain Hubbert. Bless this cannon with its rebel name. Expect an expansive range. It shoots straight, but don't forget to aim. 4. The graveside services. Into the ground we commend these buttons. Button up what can't be shucked. What goes down must come up. 5. The internment, dismissal of the artillerymen. The Houston Highlander Bagpipe Band, Amazing Grace. Hubbert family reunion and picnic on the grounds, excluding direct descendants, some colors out of bounds. When the Gina Graphic Project says I am more Scandinavian than African, I don't know how to feel about it. If I went to Denmark in this skin, this smoking cyclone, a crown of frizz, and declared the findings, who would they convince? I'm told I am more Scandinavian than African and wonder where this belongs in the half-built book I am no longer living in. Bob Hubbert was always gathering moss for the mud cat chimneys he raised over Polk County. A county surveyor knew where lines bent. Did he leave behind a genetic map? Bob came through and made everyone kin, one of my cousins laughs. From Emma Haynes' History of Polk County, 1937. When the camp was established at Moscow, every house was closed. And Negroes paraded up and down the streets. The next morning, 4 Negroes were found hanging to a tree. The Ku Klux Klan would control the Negroes and did to a great extent, but the citizens were kept in constant fear of a Negro uprising. Oh, that people loved peace rather than war. In the book I built, where I no longer live, Some nights, hummings in the walls, not wind hissing through chinks, but a human song that shifts in sleep and dips into a low diphthong. Peggy. That moon ain't hiding, clouds a shawl. Moon's cold as brass tacked upside night's frock. Pin your tears to her, they'll sing like chimes. Or ghosts that cry. Sometimes I feel I'm almost gone. Ghosts charred in dead men's lust. Think I'm some fool, got brains of shucks. Since freedom I've been through the tufts. See, one moon casts your shadow twice. Once toward the bottom land, once toward the pines. The wind's right smart, but moon, she sly. Look, lightning bugs, they spark, but they cannot catch fire. Thanks. Thanks. I read more of that than I had planned, so I'm going to only take, like, if three people want to come up and roll this, I'll read the side you roll. Yeah, roll on the floor. Roll on the floor is good. Oh yeah, you did see it before.
Yeah, I love it. No, you wrote the title.
Between a dragonfly and an osprey, there's an epigraph. In the melody, the breaking was faint, but it was there like this love between a dragonfly and an osprey. Chiwan Choi from The Yellow House. Another? Maybe I'll take four since one was the title. Or is it wind and awe? Since you tore the floor out from under me, I have taken to levitating. I just recline and the air beneath me calcifies. It is holding me up like an oath. It is holding me in like a song. Have you ever heard a song rocked in the breath, in the hull? It's rising between the ribs of the boat. It's driving in the pitch of the pulse. Two more. Leah, thanks. All the house is caterwauling, with dangling A's, brays that dodge and faint breaths that meet, mingle, vacillate, climb, rock, and catapult, crowing into outer space. Now a monthly ache breaks to gravy, womb and belly or the grave. Dagger twisted to the hilt, a tortured stabbing, and all my body again is rattling, gawking golly at its gears and grates. Gray bay, some shushed Monet, and in the port of pain, a snow globe docks, full of crouching cats and widows' walks, at the ready for shaking up. Last one. I could do it twice. Sometimes I do it that way. Gone the world, cerulean or not. Lost a toss up, coughed up a shock. If I loved you, I loved you staggering in lurch. If you left me, you left me the last wind up clock. It won't stop ticking, aspirates, though my lungs have been plundered and my heart's a ruin of gears that won't budge. There are springs hooked into me I can't unhitch. They grapple and claw. Burnished blunders glow like coals. The cock caws, but he cannot crow. So many fears I've caught and saddled, boldly straddled. Then I've been thrown. Thanks, everybody.